This is the Living Fearless Today podcast, a show that helps men like you and me who are struggling to get unstuck and overcome fear to live confidently and courageously. I'm your host and transformation coach, Mike Forrester, helping you create the change you want now. Join me as I interview men who've conquered their challenges and soared to success as they spill their secrets on how they live fearless today. Well, hello and welcome back, my friend. This week, Jeff Robertson is joining me. And Jeff, man, he has had every reason to just look at life and go, I'm not going to push through. Woe is me, right? We've had those challenges where it's like they seem insurmountable. Well, Jeff's going to talk to us about resilience and mental toughness. And it's a game changer once we see that it's like there is a way out. And we start, you know, fighting against the things that have been holding us back and hold other men back, right? There's nothing stopping you from today changing who you are, what you believe that you're capable of. And so we're going to jump into Jeff's story and the challenges that he's faced. And I really hope that you will come away with seeing yourself with that ability, with that possibility to make that transformation in your own life and write a different story than maybe what you're believing today. Jeff, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you having me. Appreciate that opening. I'm excited, man, for you and I to have an amazing conversation. And hopefully we'll speak into some ears today.
Yeah, I have no doubt that it's like, you know, the hope and the belief that, you know, comes from your story and your journey will have impact. So I'm looking forward to that, my friend. Well, let's jump off first in talking about, like, what does life look like for you on the professional side of things? You know, what are you doing business-wise at this point in time?
My main day-to-day is on business coaching. Business coaching, workshops, teaching marketing. Do a lot in AI right now with just where it's kind of new to the market, so helping businesses integrate with that. So I spend a lot of time working in small to medium businesses. And then that's on the business side. And then I do personal development coaching, workshops. I speak to the stories that we're going to talk about today, and whatever that setting may be. So I do resilience workshops, and do some different mindset workshops along with my speaking. So two sides of that professional house, basically.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, like, we can think business is so detached from, you know, like the personal aspect you're talking about, you know, like personal development and business coaching. And often the ties and the hurdles that we have in the business life carry over. But
Mike, I don't know. One of the things you just said, it is every, I will go in, if it's transactional, it's different. But if it's over a 30-minute conversation, generally you're going to walk away with something. Especially if it's an individual owner or lead that's talking to me, I generally pick up on a nugget of, hey, wait a minute, hey, I heard you say, why do you say that like that? And then we work on, hey, here's your problem, marketing. Yeah, I'll teach you that in just a second, but let me talk to you about this. So some kind of personal development always comes out of it.
Do you see it more as like it's kind of a foundational thing where somebody else may see it as kind of like a just outer periphery? It doesn't impact my business much, Jeff. Is that kind of like what you'll see instead of the central core kind of aspect that needs to be addressed?
Yeah. One of the biggest ones, and this is generally an easy to see. So some of them I have to pick up on through the conversation. But one of the easier ones is when they're trying to grow a team. I'm trying to grow a team. I just don't understand why these guys don't want to do what I say and let's get going. I said the other, and I'm like, oh, you're being mean. Like if you're talking to me like you're talking to them like you're talking to me, I said, I know you. I've known you forever. I know how you are. But you can't grow a team So just, I teach people, people skills 101 of just being like, hey, and there's some of my advice is, hey, let's get our first hire to be someone who can talk to the rest of your team. You need someone who can help with your messaging because you're ticking everybody off because people struggle with that. They just don't know how to, they don't know their eagles or their alpha personalities or high D's on that disc parameter. And they need a parrot, or an I, someone that can come along who enjoys the pep and the hype. So, that comes out of the disc world, but That's probably the one that for your audience that they'll know if you want to help someone you'd like. And you'll see it coaching. Over on the other side, I'll see it in coaching or whatever. Like, hit the ball, little Johnny. And I'm like, yes, that's not going to do little Johnny any justice today because little Johnny's afraid of swinging that bat now. Because, right, just how you interact. That's all.
The disc is definitely a tool for opening up and kind of helping us be self-aware,
yeah.
Understanding what our strengths and challenges are and how to function with them and other people that aren't us. They don't fall into the same buckets.
I got that. And mine came through, I teach the one that kind of spoke to me, and we use birds instead of the letters because the letters, like, it was always kind of like, it's just not, D, I don't. But then when they were like eagle, I was like, I understand that. And then parrot, dove, and owl. So that's an animal represents a personality. So that one kind of started making a whole lot of sense to me. And then after I dialed it in, it works on a lot of the stuff that I teach in DISC or the training that I've had has been on, you learn how to talk to the person that you're talking to, how they need to be talked to, not how you want to talk to them. That kind of spoke to me. And that made me a better coach by deploying those tactics as well. Of just being able to kind of fill out, how I needed to talk back. If they were, if they were blunt and coming across as that eagle, then I know, they don't want me rambling like I'm doing right now.
It's funny how that works. You look at like our marriages and relationships with significant others, and you can see that same kind of thing with, like love languages. It's not who I am and how I communicate in order to, bridge and connect, understanding who we are and who the person we're communicating with. And it takes communication to the next level. Just really puts nitrous oxide in it to where I'm not just asking or giving instructions, but it's like there's a bond and it's, creates that relationship almost like the generals and commanders where they had people follow them into war. It creates that camaraderie and that connection, man. So
you don't, the one thing you learn is you don't want too many of any in one place. You don't want a room full of eagles or D's because everybody's going to fight. They are not going to get along because you ever hear that term like, oh, y'all's problem is y'all just alike. You see that sometimes with kids where they have live in the same household or whatever. And then I'll come alongside and find employees that are having friction. I'm like, yeah, all right, here's the problem. So just it allows you from that command and structure standpoint to make sure you've got, we're heavy here where we need to be. And then we're layering in the rest of those personalities inside of there. So you're right from a leadership and warring standpoint as well.
It's just so amazing. It changes the dynamic of relationships around us when we actually know how to reach out and talk. You talked about the professional side, Jeff. What about the personal side? What does that look like for you today?
Dad, husband, dad of 13, almost 13. I don't want to date her quite yet, but about 7 days away of being 13. And then my son's 15, both athletes, both in honors, high performing in their academics, high performing atmospheres on their team. They both get a lot of playing time on their school teams. And so working that balance and then being a husband as well. Still a son to my mom, right? So just right now, if you were like, what's a day in your life look like? Is I am, you and I are going to wrap, and then I'm going to watch my son play baseball, pick up my daughter from softball. So we're on an athletic field. As soon as I clear up my day, I'm somewhere doing something sports-wise. And we back coaching Little League. My daughter is playing Little League baseball with some friends with some dads that I work with. So that's pretty cool. She was totally out of her comfort zone, pitching overhand versus under. She's caught in a couple of our practices and has made contact with the ball. I don't know. So I think she flew out, but decent contact. So that's the other big project that I got working on, is getting her through boys' Little League.
Nice. Yeah. Dude, Little League and being involved and present.
Yeah.
Dude, I think that's just amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Big deal. Big deal for your audience to understand it too.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
So like when we look back, that isn't something that you grew up with, Jeff. So how did you learn that skill to show up and be present when you didn't, you know, like your mom's a single mom, there's other men that are around, but how did you figure out how to be that present dad that so many of us were lacking and want so badly?
I think I took that example of everything that I didn't want, everything I was able to go through and really, I remember the day me, I was telling her about the other day, someone had asked me about it, a similar question. And I remember the day when my wife was like, hey, I'm pregnant, things are getting ready to change. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to be a dad. There's no way that this guy right here with his upbringing and everything that he has gone through, it can parent. I am just not able to do that. It scared the freaking crap out of me. And she told me on that thing, and I remember these words, and I said, I don't want nobody to ever go through what I've had to go through. And she was like, they won't. And just kind of her comfort alone. And then I was fortunate enough in my world, and this is not everybody's, but I was fortunate enough to have kids when I was 35 and not 25. I think that was super helpful. Now, here's the other part. I don't know what kids would have done to me at 35 or 25. One of my friends is like, if you'd had kids younger, you probably wouldn't have, probably your life would look very, very differently because you would have did what you're supposed to do. So that's it. As I think, you know, the biggest thing I would tell you is I knew earlier on the things that I didn't want to be as a dad. I didn't want to be that yelling, argumentative, fighting, conflict all the time, caught between homes, living here, living there, living here. So I was just trying to be, I want to anchor this, is like not all of it was bad, y'all. You know what I mean? But when you go back and look on it on the grand scheme of things, did I have happy moments? Yeah, absolutely. I did. It wasn't like it was 24/7, but there was when it was on, it was on. And there was back then, there was no, you know, you just didn't, it's not like you went and, it's not, I didn't get to have the conversations as a little kid that I get to have now. So it's easier for me to kind of process it back to just being what I didn't want to be, brother.
So what were the traits, you know, the ways in which you wanted to show up, right? You said, I don't want these things. What was it that you were shooting for to say, hey, this is the type of dad that I do want to be?
I, you know, from the earlier on, my initial experience was that young baby needed mom more than she needed me, right? So just understanding, creating that balance with my wife. And then as he got a little bit older, there's those moments of first birthday. And I had friends that were still law enforcement, friends that were military that don't get to experience these things. So just trying to be where that I needed to be. Everything kind of gets planned around your kids and your events. And if, you know, going to the bar, hanging out with your buddies, I'm like, they ain't got a playground. So that was kind of part of my thing, was to make sure that I was, that I needed to be present. I didn't, it was just me and my wife. My wife's folks were at the time were in Richmond, you know, across the state from us. And my mom, my mom has her own career. She has her own things. And we didn't have that, you know, where you went to grandma's on Sunday and everybody helped take care of the kid. And it was she and I. So we started off with that. And that was, she helped me, me and my mom then. My mom has done an amazing job, but we both were trying to figure out what that this new life in our lives would look like. And a little bit of a way she wanted to step in and raise my son, I feel like I was raised, where other family members stepped in and raised, and she was going to play that same role. My wife was like, nah, we ain't doing it like that. So my wife stepped in and helped me establish some boundaries earlier on, to where it was like, hey, this is not cool. This no showing up unannounced is not cool. Being, you know, when we have events, is being 30 minutes late, it's not cool. So I had to, my wife just initially was like really showing me. And then, man, when you don't have a dad, you start reading. And I started listening to podcasts and reading and finding experts and talking to, grew up around positive male role models and talking to everyone like, hey, what does this look like? What does this look like? And when do you do this? And, to just like really seeking as much advice as I could too, dude. I think that's probably when you don't have, you know, not knowing your dad, one of the things I could tell you is you don't have that bad habit. You don't have that negative experience. You just have a void there, and that's okay. It's up to you to fill that void. You know, I had every opportunity to go fill that with negative behaviors and reckless behaviors and all that negative void. I could put whatever influence I wanted in there. And I was fortunate enough that I was able to find those positive influences that helped me. And then, man, some of it's instinct. Your kids, man, there's a point in time, Mike, when my kids raised me. Be it just understanding basic leadership and all those things, is some of your best influences come from bottom up. And man, once I figured that out with him, of like, you know, he's his own person, Mike. He's his own person. He's not asking, like, we do a lot of NASCAR racing. Earlier on we did because of our time. And I'd be like, why do you like racing? He goes, because you do, Dad. I want to do what you do. And then he came home with baseball. And he's like, I don't play baseball. I'm like, what? And he's so as he got just a little bit older, his wants and needs outshined mine. I let him dictate even to this day, hey, what do you want to go work on? What do you want to do? So I hold him accountable. I'll tell you a little bit about that, but as we get into it. But I think it's a very long-winded response to say, hey, man, I was figuring it out as I was going. I was fortunate enough to have a good woman in my life that was drama-free, no issues of family on her side, right? They were just good people, no distractions, no arguing, no fighting, all those things. And then good, positive people seeking help. Those were probably the biggest keys.
Yeah, those are powerful. So as you're going through it, it's a new skill, Jeff. I mean, like you said, for you, it was a void. For some guys, it's undoing, right? You've had that present negative example, we'll say, an unhealthy example. When you're learning a new skill, how do you, one, give yourself grace to say like, hey, this is new territory, I'm doing the best I can. But then how do you build that resilience to keep at it instead of going, dude, I tried, Jeff, it didn't work, I'm done. How do we build those two things, and so we don't short circuit the growth that we're pursuing?
I think for me, you know, there's a part of my story where I'm in, right before my son's born, I was in law enforcement, and I end up DUI, losing my job, losing my identity. All I had done was public safety work. So, and that was a 2-year difference between me losing my career and him coming along. So I had this very life-defining moment of setback as well. So my mindset wasn't, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to, you know, I'm unstoppable, and all of these different things. And it really, it, it, that moment alone, I still go back to it because it's such a defining moment in my life of like, I was headed down this path of, you know, retirement at you know, 25, 30 year service at this place. And I was going to, my career was going to be built there and all these things. And then it wasn't, and I didn't know how to do anything else. So that setback alone, changes your perspective. It changes how you process information. I think we jokingly talked about earlier is it humbled me and kind of let me set my jerk ego aside. And it poured that out of me and in a lot of positive ways. I wasn't, I don't think I was harsh in some of my things, but I was just a knucklehead, right? I had a hard time adulting. Reckless behavior is what I like to call it, Mike. But here's what you come out of that. When you insert a kid into it. So let's use a kid, you know, your children as an example. There's a lot riding on that. And, you know, I knew that I had this opportunity that I can, if I just tweak me and I can figure out, I knew exactly what I didn't want to pass on. And if I could go start to find the knowledge to pass on what I needed to or what I was lacking, that was probably one of the bigger turning moments for me going and raising my son. For going into that work, nobody would hire me initially. No one... I didn't know how to interview. I was kicking the can. My self-worth was out the window. And so, you know, companies I probably could get hired at today, were passing on me. And I finally, I landed somewhere. I got some advice and they were like, hey, this is law enforcement and this is how that skill applies. So if you're in this situation to where you've worked in this one job for longevity and all you know is those terms and all those is sometimes I will tell you this, is finding someone who can help you find what you do now and bridge into the working world outside of there. And it can be very broad, like communication. All right. You had the ability to talk to someone who was trying to off themselves. You would sit down and talk with them on their worst day and make them feel better. This is what that looks like in over here. You may be in this, you know, situation where you're, you know, in a high stakes type environment. That's negotiation. All right. So it's learning those, how those skills go back and forth. And something I worked on here lately is, and my kids taught me this one, in their athletics is best, and I came up with an acronym. It's be honest with yourself. B, E is effort in every area. S is show up when it's hard. And T is take responsibility. And what it all comes from is just, I've been telling them since they were little kids, like, this is what your best looks like. It's straight A's. It's two hits. It's this. It's showing up for practice. It's all these. And I would just say, this is what it looks like. And finally, the other day, man, I was like, y'all got to define what your best is. I can tell you what I think it should look like. And I can tell you what mine looks like. But mine's different from yours because I'm not on a ball field. I'm not in a classroom. So I came up with that. And it's three phases. And I have an adult version that I'm getting ready to do as well. I'll make sure you get it. It's stuff that's in my head. There's no charge for this. It's just something that I'm putting out. Like, I think this will help. Cause my kids are like, all right, this is okay. And so they help me kind of put the rest of it together. But, for them, it is at home. All right. My best at home. So they start with their why. My best at home looks like this. And they write it out like, unscripted. And then my best academically looks like this. And I'm like, listen, y'all, if you want C's and D's, I'm not going, this is your best. It is not mine. If you don't want to go to a school, or if you just want to go to, if you want to go get a job, it's your best. I'm just going to hold you accountable. And then, so you've got home, academics, and then athletically. What does your best look like athletically? Goes through, and at the like page four, there's some affirmations like, I understand. This is what it, I'm all these things. They ask them like some affirming questions. And then on the back, there's a signature page. And another part that says, when I'm not doing my best, I will remember. And there's some where they write down those, that little nugget. I have told clients, this is what your best is. We're going to do this. I'm like, wait a minute. can't tell you what your best is. You got to figure that out. So for that person, when you get into that thing, if you can focus on that best of showing up, right? I didn't know how to, I didn't think I knew how to sell. I had phone skills, right? So you work in a phone or whatever, but I'm trying to qualify people over the telephone. Computer skills were way above average, but I didn't. I taught myself digital marketing there. So very, just having to figure out, and basically what it was, Mike, was I felt internally I had no more options. Like, I'm like, this has got to work for me because I have no one's hired me. No one. And this guy has taken a chance on me. I know him. He knows my family. And there's a little bit I'm like, this is kind of meant to be. I'd gotten another job the exact same day he offered me his. So I worked both of them until my son was born. Right. So I think when you look at that is if you can follow that acronym of BEST, be honest, effort in every area, show up when it's hard, take responsibility, that will give you that base layer of being able to, that's today. And then it sets us up for tomorrow. It sets us up for the next day. Once you start finding that comfort in that is then I think you're able to take that deep breath and do an assessment of, okay, is this where I really want to be? I've got money because once money starts coming back in, I didn't have any money coming in and I was getting ready to be a bad situation because mom's like, my mom was my landlord. She's like, hey, this is a payment. You paid the payment. So you got to make your rent or we got to figure this out. So I was getting into, once money came in, some of the anxiety of not having money went away. Like it started to go away and I was able to assess like, all right, I'm in a good spot here. I got food, shelter, water, all those things are good. I can get back and forth to work. So it allows you to breathe. Once you can breathe a little bit, then you can do a better assessment of kind of shoring yourself up. And then you can decide like, hey, is this good? I ended up being there for 10 years. I mean, it was, Me and the owner had really good, he was a good communicator on that part. He's like, you have a career here. You will be fine. So as my son was coming along, like he gave me that, he was like, it's got to be me and you. He said, everybody else will be gone because we were working on a big growth plan. And this all happens during the housing bubble too, right? So it's like all these uncertainties in the world. And so. Hopefully that's something that would help, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely on, you know, what we can do. And that just because you face the adversity doesn't mean the adversity has won, right? There's different ways to address it, stand up, and it's not about, you know, doing 100% on every test. It's like you talked about doing your best. Well, let's go back a bit here, Jeff.
Yeah.
So you got into, you know, like safety and law enforcement because of some of the stuff you had gone through in your childhood. Can you kind of paint some of the challenges that you face that now are what you're able to, you know, use to empathize and understand with, you know, other clients that are facing these challenges or, you know, subconsciously they're impacting their decisions in both personal and professional areas of their life. Can you walk us through some of the stuff you faced and overcame?
My grandfather, you know, he had reckless behaviors, especially when he drank, and destructive behaviors. He would just do crazy things. We always labeled him as an alcoholic, but even the stuff that carried on with me, he wasn't really an alcoholic. He just did dumb crap when he was drinking. Like he was just, that was his fuse. And he would just do, he got a DUI on a tractor. You know, we lived out in a rural area and he took his driver's license because he had gotten arrested for DUI driving. And he couldn't operate a motor vehicle, but there's no law on farm equipment. And he could operate this. He worked the system. He got arrested for DUI. So, and then there's, you know, he would get violent. with different family members or whatever. So the police was at our house in our neighborhood. My mom ended up running the country store there, kind of the family store. And so there was always, the police was always in and around either for him or something going on at the store. So, you know, when the cops are in your life, you're either, you got two options. You're either going to be a police officer, you're going to be a criminal. You, there's two paths that you can take there. And they were always, you know, like the EMS guys, when they would show up, like the lights and the sirens and all those things, that I was always kind of drawn to that because it was chaotic. And in my life, they was always showing up fixing problems. And I saw it as an opportunity that I could be on the front side of fixing our problems. So, you know, like I could go help people that was experiencing what I was. I was in sixth grade or so. I had told my Miami Vice is out. And I had told my sixth grade teacher. She's like, "What are you gonna do? It's career day." And I'm like, "I'm gonna be undercover cop someday." And she, the next day, she brought me an article, and it's like, "Hey, look, this right here just happened in the city next to us." And some of the, I ended up going and working with some of those guys that was in that article. So I think what just my life growing up is it instilled this, I wanted to get into that work because they were the people that was always coming to help me. And I was like, I enjoyed the chaos. I enjoyed the, like, if I'm going to live in this, I can get a career out of it. Right. We make the best helpers because we know what we're helping needs to be given. So, I had found, my grandmother committed suicide in 86, around that same time of sixth grade. So that was an event. My grandfather had, he beat up my mom, you know, set her car on fire, shooting at her and different stuff. So all that kind of compounded in that year. And shortly thereafter, I end up meeting a friend in middle school, and he had a rescue squad jacket. And I'm like, "I want to do that. How do you do that?" And my friend Pat, he and I are best of friends today. He was like, "Hey, I'll show you how." And when we got into high school, I started in the EMS when I was 15. I was an EMT at 15 years old. And then, so tell you all that to tell you this, is everything started and it continued chaotic. My brain never had time. When it was always hard for me to go to sleep at night, because I didn't like to shut my brain off, because that's when the real thoughts started, right? That's when I was trying to calm down. That's when I thought about a lot of the craziness. And the more I was involved in just those emergency scenes and emergency moments, it kept me out of the time. One of the I was in my aunt's house. She passed away. My grandfather, after we had moved back to town, and I'm close to being rescue squad Jeff. It's right around that age, but he had shot my aunt, and I had went to the house, and I was in there the other day reliving it with my wife and my mom and them of where he had done a shot inside the house, and my uncle had covered it with a piece of tape. And I'm like, "Y'all know what that piece of tape's there for?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "Oh, let me tell you the story." So, just, you know, so that was a family side. And then I go into, at 18, I'm either riding an ambulance, I'm working in a 911 center, I'm working as a tech in the emergency room. So, I had three, very, very, high responsibility jobs that I absolutely enjoyed, but it again, I would get off at one, go to the other, and I would sleep about 4 hours. Paul Conway was reminding me of that yesterday, and he's like, "You didn't sleep a lot. That was your part of your problem, was you didn't sleep a lot." And I was like, "Ah, you got me there." But so that was kindly, and it walks me all the way up into, you know, from 911 center about 5 years, and then I work as patrol for 2 years, and then I go to a task force and do undercover plainclothes work for about 7. And that's where it ended for me. I was arrested. I was spiraling out of control, Mike, and I was beating my, I just couldn't, yeah, it was life's trying to tell me to change, and I was too stubborn, too thick-headed, could not get out of my own way. and life came along and changed it for me. I had a bunch of negatives that was going on. I was like, I need to change. And I was like, no, if you change, then everybody's going to think that you're wrong. You don't throw in the towel because this is your opportunity. And I was fighting the wrong battle in my head. I'm like, and that could have been easy for me just to say, hey, I'm going to screw yourself. I'm done. And I didn't. And so anyway, I lost my career and lost my identity, everything, because that's all I knew how to do, man. So that was the tough part.
Yeah. Sometimes it's when those things come along and it's like the identity's, you know, swished away, just removed. It's like, it seems to be the time when you can stand up and reforge and figure out, hey, what's going to be my identity? How am I going to, you know, rise above this? And that kind of brings me into, like, you know, your coaching on resilience is one of the big threads through everything, you know, helping people to see how they can be resilient and have that mental toughness.
Yep. As hard as it was to go through it, to deal with it, because, you know, I let a community down. I let my friends down. I let some of the community leaders who believed in me, and I let a lot of people down, and I was kicking the can. It was tough. But what I didn't realize, man, was that's when my life, that was just a piece. That was just a puzzle piece. It was a long puzzle piece, but it was just a puzzle piece in my life. And here's what I'll tell you is that trooper, man, I had to go to court. I stood up in court and told him how sorry I was for putting him in my situation. I did not mean to cause him any grief, and apologized to the judge and my mom and everybody that was in that room, because, you know, I knew that I had made them all have to make hard decisions. And you know, he ended up passing away, and I go into fitness and own a gym, and I'm chugging away, and his son ends up coming into my life, and his wife's working out. The trooper's son is working out at my gym, and we didn't know this until he asked me one day. He's like, hey, thank you. And he had come to me, and he had thanked me for the impact that I had made on his wife. I was like, you know, I'm like, yeah, man, it's kind of like you hear a lot of times, like, hey, thank you for all you do as a coach. Your gym is really, it gave us our mental health back or stress. So it was a conversation like that where he was like just really thankful and grateful for us and what we'd done and how much his wife enjoyed coming there. And like, yeah, hey, you made a difference in our life because our marriage is better because of you, type thing, right? And we were sitting eating dinner, and he goes, hey, I heard you used to be a police officer. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, my dad's a police officer. I'm like, really? And he's like, what's his name? He's like, as a trooper, Malcolm Austin. And man, it's cold chills. And everything bad, you know, I was telling someone yesterday, you know, in life, in service work, in public safety, I always want to help one person. Just want to help one person. If I can help one person, you'll hear law enforcement, you'll hear different counselors, you'll hear a lot of people say, like, my message can help one person. Dude, let me tell you what, I was that one person. And that one, when he told me that, that was a going from all that hell I'd put myself through. And then here I am, that many years later, you're talking about like 12 years later or so, having this amazing conversation with someone. The worst moment in my life became one of the absolute best. And knowing that I had made a difference in his life and impacted him and his wife, it's hard not to. It's an easy conversation for me to look at people and go, hey, it's going to be okay. You're where you're supposed to be. You're doing what you're supposed to be. You're impacting who you're supposed to impact. And so for your audience that is struggling, if you're down, you're out, whatever, man, let me tell you what, you're not falling apart. You're actually coming together, and you're not, you know, you're not setting back. And this is kind of the example I use when I speak is I got a puzzle. And, you know, our puzzle comes together in many ways, and some millions of pieces on this puzzle. And it looks like it doesn't have a picture on the box. That's the other cool part about our life's puzzle is you got this box that has a blank picture on it. There's just all the pieces in there, and they're just coming together. And you put that one piece in sometimes, and you're like, it don't fit, but it looks good right there for right now until I can find the right piece, right? And you might find four pieces in a row that kind of stuck together out of the box, and you get them over there and wait for them to come inside the square. And like when you're look at it like that, and that piece that you tried to force in there, that may have been a 15-year career, a 20-year career. It was in there, and you're like, man, it seems like it should fit. But you know the piece I'm talking about. It don't really fit until you find the right one. It snaps right in there, and you're like, holy crap. And when you snap that one piece in, all these over here that you've been putting together comes into the puzzle as well. And it starts to picture itself out. That's what I would tell you is it's just another puzzle piece. And if you'll look, if you'll pause for a second and be like, all right, what's life trying to tell me here? And I know what life is trying to tell me. It's like, hey, it's time for you to move on. It's time for you to go be a dad. It's time for you to go impact other people's lives. You know, it's time for you to go learn business and do this stuff so you can go coach, right? So it sets me up for this journey that ends up putting someone who was negative in my life. It put them, their family in there to where we're all friends today. And I speak. And when I do, I mention them and the role that Danny's dad played in my life. So that's what I would tell you is you're just coming together. You feel like you're falling apart, but man, I'll tell you what, if you'll reframe that and just look, it's like, I had a client tell me the other day, a little perspective on this, as he called me and he was like, man, I lost a $10,000 contract today. I'm like, why are you talking to me? And he's like, I just need to vent about it. And I go, you lost seven, but 21,000, you got three clients trying to get in the door. You lost one, but you got three waiting on you. There's $21,000 out there for you. Hang up with me and go find it. And he's like, that's why I called you. I'll see you later. Right. So take those bad times if you can reframe them. And don't forget that pause, take self-inventory, five influences that you're letting in your life. If alcohol got you in your situation, stop hanging out with your drinking buddies for a while, till you can get it under control. Once you can get it under control, then you do you, but do a quick inventory of who's influencing you, and that will also make a difference in your puzzle pieces, because generally those influences got you where you are. And it might be at work. Like I say, you lost your job. It's probably because you was, you're gossiping with the boys or whatever, or you had a bad relationship. There's a bunch of reasons, but or being negative, that happens. And if you inventory your surroundings, you're going to find four of the people you hang out with freaking negative.
Yeah. Well, dude, as we're wrapping up here, Jeff, that's a whole lot that could be dug into in and of itself, what you just shared there, man. Like looking for the opportunities, even when we hit those hurdles, which, that in and of itself is the resilience, the mental toughness that, can lead to those bigger opportunities that we're almost like a horse. We have blinders on because we're focused on one thing. How can guys connect with you outside of the podcast here and learn more about resilience and mental toughness to continue flexing that muscle and building it up to, push through to that new opportunity that's before them?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do some speaking, so you can book me to speak, or we can create a conversation through my website, jeffreyrobertson.com. It's my name, jeffreyrobertson.com. My social links is at the bottom. If you click on Instagram, that's me. You're going to come directly to me. But I'm active on Instagram. At OtherNet, if you're looking for that best plan, but if you're looking for that, if that spoke to you and you want to see it, or just I'm almost done with the course. In the meantime, if you will just message me and say, hey, I want that PDF. I'll send you the PDF so you all can get it. My whole goal is to just put it out there. Let's help some people with it. And I'm using it in coaching athletics. So I want anybody who would love to have that. But whatever I can do to support you as well, Mike, jeffreyrobertson.com. Love what you're doing here. The message. This is that you are absolutely the influence of that positive male role model that I spoke of. And the guest that you're having on here is doing what their part in getting the message out of someone like me that was missing that many years ago. So don't let, I appreciate everything you're doing too, brother. And anything I can do to support your efforts, I'm always standing by, man.
I appreciate it, man. And that's the thing, Jeff, like you and I are now able to stand in a different position than we were before. But it's like we hear so little about the struggle, about, you know, what's beyond what we see right now. And, you know, through both of us, that's really what we're wanting to help other men see is there is hope. There is a way. There's the possibility of a different life than what you've experienced before or even what you're living today. But it's not easy. It does take that resilience, that perseverance, you know, just that fortitude and a change of perspective. And so much of that comes through what you've talked about, Jeff. And as we look at like where you came through those hurdles, those challenges, and what you're doing today, dude, that is 180 degrees difference. And I appreciate what you're bringing to bear, the tools that men can plug into. So, Jeff, thank you so much for your time and the insights that you've shared to here today, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks so much, my friend, for joining me on another episode. If you found the information within the show helpful, please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. It helps raise the show's visibility so other men can join us in breaking free. See you on the next episode, and remember to continue putting yourself out there. Have a great one.